This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. This week, triumphant tangerines already projecting towards the Premiership. And D eyeing Europe, but will it be easy to jet there? Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Twa Teams One Street. I'm Tom Duthie, and podcasting alongside me today are Alan Temple.
Good morning.
George Cran.
Hello.
And Graham Finnan.
Hello, everyone.
Now, remember, you can, as well as listening to us, George, you can watch us on YouTube. I would recommend it if your site's going, but if your site's perfect, I'm not sure it would. And I'm waffling away here because with my usual professionalism, I forgot to ask what team we're doing first.
Well, we might go with the team that won the league. Won the league.
Nobody's won the league.
Exactly.
All but won the league.
Yes.
Got as close to winning it as you can possibly get without winning it.
I'm fed up writing the words all but and effectively and de facto.
Champions elect.
Yeah, it's getting exhausting. But yeah, barring a 36-goal swing in two games, United are champions. So
I was going to say, for those of you just back from Mars, we are, of course, speaking about Dundee United.
Yes, job done. It's been a long old season. I know the people within Tannadice feel the same.
It was over in October.
There's been dips and troughs, but ultimately, United will be really, really worthy champions. All the numbers and all the achievements stack up to being a very, very good championship campaign. And I think Jim Goodman spoke really well after the game and acknowledging that at the start of the third quarter, he made some tweaks, he made some changes that didn't work, and he remedied those. And aside from that third quarter, where he's shown enough humility to say that he made mistakes, it's been a really, really good season, and it's ending on a high. Weren't brilliant against Ayr, but fundamentally got the job done, and nobody is going to remember anything about that game other than Chris Mochrie's goal, a Dundee lad getting the winner.
Chris Mochrie will remember it.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful moment for him, local boy, been at Dundee United since he was 9 years old. It's a fairy tale ending to getting out of a league that they never wanted to be in, and the fans had every right to enjoy it.
Does that mean it's his testimonial season then?
it's incredible. There's a few boys like that. Ross Graham's no far away either. You never know. But I think this will mean more than a testimonial kickabout ever could. Yeah. It was a great moment for him, and after a really...
His hell was close to tears, it says here.
Yeah, I'm amazed she wasn't in tears.
She is a Dundee fan.
We didn't.
Derby defeats to look forward to next season, Bear.
We didn't clarify whether they were tears of joy, I'm going to assume that they were. So, a fine moment. And the United fans that spilled onto the pitch, it's been a hell of a year for them. You know, last season was utterly, utterly miserable. And as well as being a poor season, I mean, it was farcical at times as they crashed to relegation. So they deserve their day in the sun, quite literally, at Tannadice. And now we can look forward to next season, which I must say I'm looking forward to, because I don't really have anything left to say about this championship season that I haven't said already.
Well, one thing we could say, there's a fact, what you said there about there's been peaks and troughs. It's what we say all the time when one of our clubs are in the championship. If you look at it, statistically, United have had a very good season. But you're under the microscope if you're a Dundee United in the championship. So you get criticised. I mean, it's probably fair to say that Raith Rovers have had more praise than Dundee United this season. They've deserved their praise. But Dundee United are a level up as a club. And therefore, in the championship, anything that doesn't go right, it's a crisis.
Yep, that's fundamentally the problem, is when Dundee United win football matches, it's not newsworthy in the championship. Mm. But when they lose football matches in the championship, it suddenly becomes this massive crisis. And that's why the...
So you're blaming yourself?
Collectively. It can be... I think we've shone a light, certainly, on the failings of games that they haven't won, but at no point has have we lost the rag and suggested that the manager is under any degree of pressure, because that would be ludicrous, because he was fundamentally all through this season doing the job that he was asked of and doing it very well. But it's a degree of pressure that's there that United are expected to win every game. And when they lose matches, the spotlight and some of the reaction can get a wee bit over the score. But, I mean, to expect them literally to win every game is just preposterous. Mm-hmm. You're going to have bad spells. But, you know, there's a lot of questions about Jim Goodwin's ability to navigate the biggest games and when it really mattered how they would step up. And the way with which they answered that question specifically, you know, you've got Ian Murray suggesting they were rattled ahead of that final meeting between Dundee United and Raith Rovers.
Worked out well, didn't it?
And since then, Dundee United have won four games to an aggregate score of 12-1, including beating Raith Rovers. So there's your big games. Mm. There's your stepping up when it matters. So fundamentally, I think in the fullness of time, we'll all, and including, you know, I'm not a Dundee United fan, but we'll, you know, Dundee United fans even will look back upon this season and actually appreciate just what a good season it was when you're not living in it. But we all know, it's, you know, 2024, the social media, the desperation for hot takes, the everything that happens has to be the biggest thing that's ever happened, the worst thing or the best thing. And it's only after a season finishes that I think you actually will get a more nuanced, as I say, appreciation of what's been a really good season.
Well, it's interesting. Lee Wilkie kind of said that in his column at the start of the week, that just like you say, nobody will remember that match aside from Chris Mockery's winner. If United go and finish off in style, which he said would really benefit Jim Goodwin going forward, because people won't remember the way the seasons went, but they'll look at the league table and they'll be on 77. At least 71, possibly 77. That's a really good season, and that's all that people are going to remember in the future. And suddenly it looks like a point where people were maybe questioning Jim Goodwin, and suddenly it looks like an extremely good season for a manager, and that can only help going forward next season when he's...
Do you know what? I'm going to slightly disagree, and I'm going to use Bear here.
How dare you?
Have,
how dare you?
I know what you're saying, because I think if they finish with 77 points, it's a very good season. But Bear, as a fellow Dundee fan, I remember the times that it took them two or three seasons to get up. The times they got up in one season, there is a bit, I mean, it's great in the moment and you celebrate, and I'm full of praise for United, don't get me wrong, but when they get relegated and come up in their first season, there is, once the dust is settled, you're like, well, that's what you should have done.
Yeah, there's an expectancy there that that's what was expected to happen.
I don't know how much goes in the bank for a manager for getting a Dundee United championship.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that it's expected to happen. And the bigger story, as Alan's just said about games, the bigger story is when United were losing games. And the bigger story this season would not have been Dundee United winning the championship. Mm-hmm. It would have been Dundee United staying in the championship.
And they've done it with a big budget cut. But this is the problem clubs of a certain size have when they're in the second tier. It's their name and their historical reputation is all that matters to fans. It's not the financial reality, because Jim Goodwin's had so much less to spend than his immediate predecessors.
I'm delighted for Jim Goodwin. I'm still a fan of Jim Goodwin. Yeah. I've always been a fan. When he was back at Arlo, I thought he did a good job there. I thought he did a good job when he was at St Mirren. You know, he suffered at Aberdeen. There's no doubt about that. And he actually mentioned it in one of his press conferences this week. And that's the first time I've actually heard him mention in Aberdeen. He mentioned he'd had a hard time. That was a difficult period for him. And going on from that, United taking Dundee United on and then suffering relegation at the end of last season. It would have been easy for Jim Goodwin to walk away at the end of last season. And for Dundee United, to be fair, not to have offered him the position. But they did. And he accepted that, and they chose wisely. And as George said, you know, this could be, you look at the table, and you know, another couple of wins, and the stats will show they've had a fantastic season. But we all know, and the fans will probably remember a period where it was not quite so crystal clear that Dundee United were going to actually win this championship. And I've got to say, Tom, you know, you can sort of put all the stats and in print and say they've done this and they've done that and what a fabulous season it's been. But Dundee United and their fans don't want to be, you know, making records in the Championship. That's a fact. And that's why it's now time. I think, you know, they'll have it. Hopefully they can finish the season in a wee bit of style. They'll get to the point which mathematically makes it, confirms it, you know, against Airdrie this week. And they'll beat Partick Thistle in their last game as well. But, you know, as I said last week, you don't get long to dwell on success in football. And as we've seen already with the things that have been going on at Sandhurst this week, they're already looking forward to next season in the Premiership.
All right. Now, I'm looking forward to next season. Maybe one of the big things that fans should be encouraged by is the way that Jim Goodwin spent his limited budget. Mm-hmm. Because he signed well for this season. And there's every reason to believe that could continue.
Yeah, I think, I mean, speaking more generally, I think every aspect of Jim Goodwin's career so far, managerially, would suggest that he would be a good man for the task next season. You look at that, what he did achieve with St Mirren, and I wouldn't want United fans to bristle at the comparison because I know the stature with which they see their club, but there probably will be a comparison between what Jim Goodwin was asked to do with St Mirren and what he will be asked to do with Dundee United, which is to consolidate and, if at all possible, push towards that top six position. And he showed that he could do that with St Mirren. The challenge he was given at Aberdeen is a totally different job. So you can kind of write that off and say, hopefully you learn from that and move on. But in terms of a comparable challenge, in terms of a squad to build, to be competitive, to be structured, to get some gems from down south, to, you know, if you can, maybe look further afield. But ultimately, take a team with competitive but modest resources to survive and push for that middle area of the table. And as Dundee have proved this season, if you can initially just, you know, push away from the bottom, consolidate yourself towards the middle, then as game 33 approaches, maybe even push towards that top six, try and, you know, eke in there. Why not? So I think his career path so far has suggested that he'll be okay with that challenge. And as Tam alludes to there, you know, looking towards the recruitment, I think Jim Goodwin's had a fair amount of hits. He's quite clearly has an eye for a player. His recruitment at St Mirren was okay. At Alloa, it was very good. And, you know, at those two clubs, he was very hands-on. At Dundee United, his recruitment has been excellent. I really do believe that. It's, people can shrug and say, well, you know, you had the most money in the league, but see, building a squad with the right, and this is a phrase he uses quite a lot, with the right character profile, on the right budget. I think his only real miss has been Ollie Denham. And even then, he rectified that within 6 months and got a cracker of a centre-back in Sam McClelland. Realised where he went wrong, fixed it. So I think there's every reason to believe that Jim Goodwin has a decent eye for a player, and I'm not even mentioning the ones up at Aberdeen. Granted, a couple of shockers at centre-back, I'm sure he would be first to admit that, but working with Darren Mowbray came to him with the players, big old lists of players. He is the one that pinpointed and pursued Miofsky, Ramadani, Duke. So he is quite clearly somebody that has got an eye for a player, and now working with the new head of recruitment, we'll go on to that, I'm sure, Michael Kearney, United are hopefully in a better place to take Jim Goodwin's eye for a player, to take the good work he's done in terms of recruitment so far and just cast that net a little further. You know, get, you know, a little bit more appreciation of what's down there in England, and which could be a really good market, and one that Michael Kearney's worked in for a while, and or even further afield in Europe, because it's a tough old job building a Premiership standard squad if it's just Jim Goodwin and Luigi Capuano. And you know, now that they've got that head of recruitment in, he can build a scouting team. They can get their, you know, as I say, net cast a little bit wider, and really interesting times ahead. I'm quite excited to see how it all pans out, and I know a lot of people within Tannadice are excited, because this is the first time that they've really been approaching a season with a properly blank slate. Make no mistake, last season was firefighting. Last season was get out who you can get out, make your money back up, and get in enough players to win the Championship. This season, you've got a lot of boys out of contract. You've got a lot of discussions to take place. There's loads of targets been identified. And it'll be fascinating to see what that 11 looks like on day one of the Premiership season, because it's going to be so different and, as I say, such a blank slate to work from.
Well, Dundee showed this season, if you get your recruitment right, you can push right up that table.
I mean, speaking to David Wotherspoon after the game, he was, you could almost see his reluctance to cite Dundee because fans can be so tribal. Yeah. But I don't need to worry about that. Dundee are 100% the example Dundee United need to take. Mm. Whether it's the loan market, whether it's a free agent market, either way, take your blank slate, be ruthless in who can cut it in the top flight. Sadly, thanks and good luck with your future endeavours to anybody who can't, in your opinion, cut it in the top flight and build a team. You know, scout well, recruit well. And Dundee have shown what is possible. And that's, you know, it's, you know, not the team that United maybe want to be idolising. But however, it's great that there is such a recent example right there for them within this city.
So, an interesting one. We've expressed, when speaking about Dundee, we've expressed worries at times on and off air about the number of loan signings. But it's just popped into my head. On your first season back in the Premier League, are loan signings maybe the way to go? Because to be brutal about it, loan signings might be more amenable to signing for you, because if you go down at the end of the year, they're going him. Whereas there's always this problem with the promoted team that if Dundee United go for a player in the summer and Motherwell, Dundee
established teams,
teams that have been in the Premier League a year or two, or in Motherwell's case more, players will often say, well,
sure,
I'll take the safer bet. Yeah. Whereas the loan signing thing, they're going back at the end of the year, so it's not, that's not a concern for them.
I think it's like everything, Tommy. A loan signing or a permanent signing, the main thing is you've got a signing who can improve the side you've actually got. That's what has got to happen. I think Dundee, the loan signing market has worked really well for them. Obviously, Owen Beck is the shining example at Dens. But the way Owen Beck, what he did for Dundee and the publicity he got, it inspired, I think, other loan signings to say, you know, he's put himself right in the shop window here, effectively. Mm-hmm. And that can be a good thing, because that's what loan signings have to do. They've got to go back to their parent club and you know, either they move on to a club and get a deal elsewhere, or they get themselves back in at their parent club. Yeah. And that's the secret. I think for Dundee United, it doesn't really matter if it's loan signings, whatever it is. Dundee United, I'm delighted they've got a head of recruitment in, because Luigi Capuano and Jim Goodwin need help. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt about it that Dundee United faced the biggest task over the summer of all the Premier League clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, Wraith Rovers or whoever it is in the Champions wins the playoff. Dundee United faced the biggest recruitment drive. There can be no doubt about that. It'll be interesting. You take Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen out of the equation, because they're in a different market.
Yeah.
Dundee United are now in a market with seven other clubs. It'd be interesting to see what sort of budget. We've not talked about budgets. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing we've not, you know, Mark Ogren's had his fingers burned by spending big in the Premiership and suffering relegation. You know, he's taking the financial hit on it. It'll be interesting to see what sort of budget that Jim Goodwin has at his disposal. I'd imagine it would be a fighting budget.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to Jim earlier this week. He used the word competitive.
Well, competitive budget, but they need to move quickly, because, Tam, As you know, the seven clubs that we've just spoken about, they will be moving in the same markets together. So you've got to get in early and get your players early before somebody moves in and takes them from you. So, it's a wise move by Dundee United getting the recruitment manager in. I wouldn't be surprised to see things happening very quickly. And as Alan's alluded to, there's also who they want to keep for next season. That's going to be really fascinating, of the players who are still at Tannadice and who are out of contract.
Yeah, I was going to go on to the head of recruitment, but just because you said that, I saw your stuff with David Wotherspoon. He wants to stay.
I'm sure a lot do.
I just wonder with David Wotherspoon, I looked at his stats. He's not completed 90 minutes. He's been injured again. Is he maybe wishing for more than he's going to get?
Well, he didn't have injury problems at Inverness, which is, you know, the same season he's come in, and it's been niggly. It's been nothing particularly serious. If he had ligament damage or something like that, then I would worry about someone of his age. Whereas it has been more a case of wear and tear for a player who's come into a different training regime. I think it's fair to say at United to what he was used to at Inverness. Jim who works his boys hard. I think it's very, very, very fair to say, and that's not to say Duncan Ferguson doesn't. I've got no idea what Inverness's training is like, but I just know it's hard at United. So I tweeted when somebody replied to me on Twitter earlier this week, all things being equal, I would give David Wallace another year because
maybe also be a sign of how big the budget is that you take a wee gamble because of his undoubted ability?
I just think it's very important that they have a portion of their squad that has Premiership experience up there. If David Wallace is capable of playing a part in 25 games next season, but is also around the dressing room, influencing the young players, being a big, important character within there, then I think there is something worthwhile to that. A squad's a delicate thing to build, and I think you can't have too many guys like David Wotherspoon in there. A winner. I mean, and that is not me being glib. A lot of players get spoken about winners. No, David Wotherspoon has three major trophies with a team that didn't used to win trophies. Mm-hmm. He is a winner. So, and the impact he made when he came on at the weekend was huge, as it tends to be when there's a trophy on the line. He's one of those guys that steps up. So see if there's big games and big occasions, I would fancy David Wallace to play a part. But that's me talking, as I say, all things being equal. There's an awful lot to judge. And I don't like talking too much about guys' fitness or things like that, because I don't know what the overarching fitness is. And people talk out of school an awful lot about things that they don't necessarily know about. Jim Goodwin and his medical team will know whether or not David Wallace-Spoon's durability is up to Premiership standard, and if it is, then I don't see any reason why you wouldn't necessarily keep him along for the ride. But not just David, but there's so many big calls to be made there, and there will be some boys that have no doubt contributed over the last season or even longer than that might go their separate ways, because it was notable that Jim said straight after the game, his celebratory press conference, if you like, that he's acutely aware that the Premiership is a totally different kettle of fish, and we've already started planning for that. That was a wee bit of a shot across the bows, I think, whether deliberate or otherwise. That was him basically saying thanks to everyone that's helped us win the Championship, but there will be a very different look to the squad in the Premiership, which is just reality, isn't it?
Yeah, and something you touched on, I went on about Dundee's loan signing route, but something Dundee did and other teams that have come up and done well, you do need some bodies in there that know the league, don't you? And I mean, one of the benefits is Jim Goodwin himself knows the league really well, but a couple of a Joe Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy and Trevor Carson.
Can you spell that? Can you spell Shaughnessy?
Bear, you know I could never spell. But it's, if you get a couple of guys added to the squad that know the league, and you're going to have boys that have played in the league as well, but that's important, isn't it?
It certainly helps. There's no doubt about that. And Alan's touched on Wallace-Spoon, and that would be one of the reasons I'd be giving him a contract, because, he has done it. He's been there. He's got a track record of doing it, and we're speaking a lot about Dundee here, but they are the example to follow. The signings that the manager made, Curtis Main, now in St Mirren, the defender, Joe Shaughnessy, as you say, Trevor Carson, Ricky Lamy, it was all guys who had, Tony Docherty invested in guys, he knew their limitations, but he knew that they could perform at that level. And that, and you sometimes need that. You look at some of the young guys United have got. You're no doubt they will be given the chance to show what they can do, and get the opportunity. But guys like David Wallace-Spoon, he doesn't have to be given the opportunity to show what he can do. He can perform at that level. Now, as Alan says, it may only be for 2/3 of the season, but having him for 2/3 of the season, I think would be a good return on an investment for Dundee United.
Yeah, the other thing that encourages me, it's slightly different if he's making loan signings, but Jim Goodwin this season's got the balance between youth and experience bang on, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's a lot of young players that, even if it's belatedly, have made a major difference. I mean, there's so much credit due to
particularly Ross Graham, Sam McClelland, obviously not their player, but Miller Thompson as well, to come in at the business end of the season and do so well and to have the faith of the managers, great. Kai Fotheringham, I think he is the first to admit, he's very kind of harsh on himself, he's the first to say that he would like to affect games over a 90-minute period a little bit more, but his statistics are astonishing for a player that is in his first season as a senior pro. So the young players have definitely made an impact. I mean, Chris Mochrie's worth 6 points with his last minute goals, and that 6 points is what has won Dundee United the league.
Even the likes of Cujo at the start of the season came on and scored important goals, didn't they?
So there'll be there'll definitely be a balance to be struck, but I think the priority is going to be physicality, fitness, organisation, experience. I don't think they'll be mucking about with too much by the way of risks. I think it'll be there'll be a desire to make a functional Premiership team there, and I think they've got, I mean, don't get me wrong, there'll be a lot of upheaval, but I'm heartened by certain aspects of it. Give him all the rest in the world, make sure he's ready for next season, and you've got Declan Gallagher, Craig Sibbald, get Louis Moat signed up, Scott McMahon's played hundreds of games in the top flight. You've got players there that I'm reassured by. Would love to see Jack Walton back if Luton don't plan on playing him.
The goalie's a big one,
he's got a year, contrary to what some things say on the internet, he's got a year left at Luton. So if he isn't in the picture for a first team place there, get him back up the road. And Dundee United is a proven great shop window for goalkeepers in the past. Not last season.
I was going to say, is Mark Berigui still around?
However,
is he still there?
Mark Berigui, how many years has he got left on his contract? That was some deal he got.
I think it's safe to say he'll be departing in the summer when his contract expires.
That'll help the budget.
Yes, it will. Yeah. And but before that, you've got, Zolushka, Sigrist,
Rado.
So, there is a proven track record there of, if you play well for Dundee United, scouts and other clubs will look at that and say you're performing at a good level for a big club. And so I would, while I think he'll have options, no doubt, elsewhere, would love to see Jack back up the road, because he's just after the nonsense of last season, is an incredibly calming presence and a very popular figure in the dressing room. So I did ask Jim about it. His answer wasn't expansive enough, really, to be worth a spot in the paper. But since you loyal listeners are with us all the way, I will say he didn't rule it out, but just rather briskly said that's one for a further down the line. So I think there's all sorts of conversations that need to be had. So, but it's very much that. So you're saying there's a chance.
If Luton go down, which is looking more likely, unfortunately, after last night's result at Goodison Park, I'm still in the huff.
I enjoyed it.
He maybe becomes a more sort of attractive option to them, even for the bench next season. So that might be.
Potentially, that's what I think Jim's alluding to. There are so many moving parts, but I would suggest that in terms of goalkeeping targets, of which they'll have many, keeping Jack Walton, I suspect, is one of those options if a lot of stars can align.
Yeah,
but let's not count our chickens on that one.
And maybe the new head of recruitment has a few up his sleeve anyway already.
I don't think there's any doubt in that at all. I think we've all been in this game long enough to know that head of recruitment will have been doing this for a while.
Yes.
I noticed the other day that he followed me on LinkedIn in February.
There you go.
If only I'd been paying more attention.
Yeah, exactly. We've all been there.
Yes. So I think it's safe to say that he has been preparing for his role at Dundee United for a wee while. And he'll already have been feeding targets to Jim Goodwin. And Jim Goodwin's, he's a clever guy and very respectful. So he's been very deliberate about not talking about recruitment for the Premiership until they were actually back in the Premiership, because, as he rightly thinks, Raith Rovers, and they deserve better than that to be spoken about as if it's already done. So, but now he is able to speak about these things. He's been honest enough to say that there have been irons in the fire for a while. He's been analysing players for a while. So I'm heartened by the fact that United are not only going to have this early title win in order to give them a head start on recruitment, but has probably been ongoing for weeks and weeks, and this head of recruitment will have been doing his thing for weeks and weeks. So, as I say, exciting times ahead.
All right, what is Michael Kearney's focus going to be very much helping Jim Goodwin get players for the, which will be in the immediate future, I imagine, but has he got overall responsibility for recruitment down to 10-year-old kids right up to first team, or is he going to focus on the first team?
I would suggest it's probably more focus on the first team. The academy has their own academy scouts, and however, when we get the chance to speak to him, I'll, you know, it's one of the things we'll definitely touch on. But I would suggest he'll have his hands full in terms of building, because he has to, rather kind of rebuild the recruitment department to how he would like it shaped. You know, he was in charge of a scouting team of 10 at Doncaster Rovers. I think he'll be charged with, you know, the assignments and the building of a recruitment team and basically creating a brand new network. So hugely interesting challenge for him personally, and in general, you know, he'll be build that network, bring in the reports, feed to Jim Goodwin, and hopefully build a you know, a good operation in the fullness of time. But ultimately, Jim Goodwin will have the final say. So I've covered patches before when the narrative has been, God, who picks the players? Who's making the signings? Yeah. I remember Hearts when Craig Levein was there and things like that. And that can become there'll be none of that. Jim Goodwin is picking the players, is making the final decision. And as I've mentioned about his time in Aberdeen, has a good eye for that final selection of players. Mm. So he will very much still be making the final decision. And I would suggest that Michael Kearney is very much looking to rebuild this recruitment network and feed in top team targets rather than thinking too further for, you know, down the pecking order, if you like.
By the way, to go off on a tangent, but what jumped out at me there from your words, Michael Kearney had a scouting team of 10 at Doncaster Rovers, not just United. That it shows what Scottish football clubs are up against, and I don't think fans always appreciate. There is just so much money in the English game. That
I think I read something on Twitter yesterday saying the average wage in League One was £3,400, which, again, just there's very, very few players out with your teams, you know, in the top six or, you know, Hearts. But if you're at Dundee or many teams in the top flight, unless you're the star man, you're not getting that money.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so in the National League in England that I know from the latter years of my time working, a couple of agents told me the National League in England, which is split for regional reasons, is a strange league in that you can be signed for a pair of boots and £100 a week, but there are other clubs can better Premier League wages up here. There's a lot of
money swung about, and they, I mean, as I've seen this week, that the clubs in the lower leagues in England are complaining there should be a lot more swung about, but it doesn't make life easier for Scottish Premiership clubs when they're signing a player, and that's why.
So
that's
maybe we want the EPL to stick to their guns and keep all their money.
Yeah, that's why the loan market can be so advantageous, because there's no doubt you can get a higher standard of player if another club is picking up part of the wage of a player that's coming north of the border. It might not be your player, but in terms of paying his wages, you probably couldn't match it, the wages of a Championship player. Dundee and Dundee United would be struggling to match the wages of a Championship player of a certain level, whereas if you have a Championship player that they're willing to send on loan, and maybe you pick up half the tab or a percentage of the tab, it makes it a more shrewd investment.
I mean, just finally, because I know we're going long, but, you know, touching on that, the English lower leagues, I think there'll be obviously a lot of people, and there is a kind of who is Michael Kearney, you know, explainer on our website, if you want to head over to the Tully website. So if you need to know about him, is there. However, while there might be a lot of excitement about his stint recently with a Come to God Sport Republic, because they've got links with Rasmus Ankersen, who was the you know, the guy that led Brentford to the top flight, and also the current owner of Southampton, I'd be more excited about the fact that he has gone through the tiers with clubs like Barnet and Doncaster, because although it's not as sexy, that is where the gems could be. So he's going to have built a really, really good network, see at that sort of League Two level and even National League level. And there could be players that are ready to come in and step in. You're another Callum Butcher, for example, somebody that you've not even thought of who can come up here and will really fancy playing at Pittodrie, Celtic Park, Ibrox, fancy a crack at Scottish football. And I think that network, that knowledge could be really valuable.
Well, St Johnston showed this season you can find gems even further down.
Yeah,
Sidibe's been I think he's been an excellent find, and he was, what, 10th tier?
Yeah.
Well, part of, and finally, don't you understand? But and finally, finally,
both parts, I think.
The title clinched tomorrow at Airdrie.
Let's hope so.
That's enough.
I was going to say, I'm kind of done for this season. I'm about at the beach, so so I can't.
That'll be a good game, though. Airdrie United, it'll be good watch.
I think, given the way Airdrie play and the fact that United can approach it in a pressure-free manner, it could be a low-key cracker on the telly. However, I'm not going to be too harsh if United lose it, because I can barely be bothered. So I don't know how the players feel.
We better wind up or we'll miss the first half. So, George, Dundee. Somebody said to me they're going for Europe. I said, what if they've got a Sunday league in Europe now? Oh, I did, I must admit. That's how callous I am.
Badoomtish.
Yeah, fifth place is now a European spot. Well,
of course, because
Aberdeen missing out.
Celtic and Rangers doing Dundee a favour.
It was a big...
Well,
big
the Rangers didn't have to do that.
No, because Hearts are already third. Or pretty much third. It was a bit closer than I thought it might be with Aberdeen and Celtic, I have to say. Mm. But the prize is there to be taken. And this week I've had a wee look at the fixtures ahead for both teams and the form for both teams. And St Mirren's form isn't particularly good. I think they've won one win in the last four. They've got Rangers at the weekend, so it could be one win in five by the time they come to Dens. Dundee have only one defeat in the last six. And obviously have them at home, which is good. After the Celtic game on Sunday, I think...
I like how you sneaked that in there, George, the way you did.
We'll just ignore that. But,
so basically keep the gap at the current 2 points and beat St Mirren at home.
Well, the two teams are playing the Old Firm, both at home. If either of them get a result, it's probably a surprise result, and it would probably kick them on in terms of the race against each other. It would be a massive result for either of them. But it's the game at the end of the following week between Dundee and St Mirren is the one that's going to set the tone.
Your home games are great for, if you were drawing up that top six, to have got St Mirren, your major rivals, at home, and then last day when it could all still be in the balance, a Kilmarnock team that you'd imagine should be on the beach.
They'll be fourth.
Good home games,
Although, Kelly play Hearts this weekend, which interesting either way, but you'd actually hope as well that by the time Dundee play Hearts, that Hearts will be secure in third. They play Rangers away, which obviously odds against them for getting anything, but that's only 3 days after Rangers play at Parkhead in what could be a title decider. So they could be... Well,
how many points are Dundee going to need here to get that fifth spot? Because
I think if you're going
to... That's you up to about 12 already, George.
If St Mirren kept their current form up in Dundee 1-1 game against St Mirren.
George has got Dundee finished.
But then I just think if you could pick a fixture list, I think it's landed really well.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they have to go and do it. That's the thing.
But George, I mean, if we play the tape back or whatever, the video reel on whatever that YouTube thing is, did it actually qualify for?
The Europa Conference League second qualifying round.
Which means they won't get a holiday.
Well,
it basically means they'll play their last game and then fly out somewhere.
No, it's actually later than the League Cup would start by 10 days or couple of weeks.
That's quite a bonus in itself, isn't it? That's
especially when you need to sort of pitch in the summer as well. So that it could help money-wise with sorting the pitch, but also give them a wee bit more time to get things up to scratch.
But they might have to find a pitch to play their home qualifier on.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. It might be handy they get drawn away, first of all. It looks like at that stage the Scottish team will probably be seeded. Hibs were seeded last season. They finished fifth. They drew the Andorran club, Escaldes, and got beat away, but managed to win it at home.
My fading memory, I don't think we've our teams didn't do as well this season in Europe, or they did more badly than the less badly of the previous season.
No, like, I mean, yeah. you could count on Aberdeen. I mean, although they dropped into the group stages of the Conference League, didn't they? They were in the Europa, I think, Europa playoffs to begin. I can't honestly remember. But
Hearts were in.
What I would say is, yeah, look how that's affected Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen weren't prepared for the Thursday, you know, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday sort of fixture list that European football brings, yeah, but it also brings a wad of cash for you, Tam. So I'm sure Dundee would welcome that with open arms. I've got to say, I think it's so, and George has got me word on just how many points I think we would need to get there. I think if they can get 48 points, Tam, I think another...
Yeah.
Two wins and a draw might be enough. Might be enough to get them there, given the fixtures, the way they pan out. Obviously, it depends on what happens with St Mirren's results along the way. But, and I don't think 48 points is beyond them. George sort of skipped over the fact I've got Celtic to kick off on Sunday. Being the warrior I am...
I think that's decent. Get that out of the way.
Being the warrior I am, I've not really looked at the game. I've been looking at the weather forecast,
yes,
more than anything else. And
showery weekend.
I was a bit concerned. It looks like it's not going to be too bad now. But,
on the pitch, we speak to folk this week, and it's actually a wee bit dry.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They need a bit of rain.
Things dry out very quickly at this time of year, you know. So, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. As for the game itself... I think it's good coming on the back of the fine result and performance against Rangers. We've got to go and show now we can do it against Celtic. I'm sure Tony Docherty would like that. But they took a real sore one against Celtic down at Parkhead a few months ago when it was ridiculous. I've got to see that game. I mean, even Celtic, sort of, you know, the ability Celtic have in their ranks to go in 6-0 up at half time after only having 7 attempts at goal is, you know, that's quite a stat. Like, you know, even on your worst nights, that doesn't happen.
Bear never saw me playing goal.
But Dundee you all have that in their memory. But hopefully they can use it to their advantage. They were very good against Rangers. They showed they could set up tactically to stifle Rangers. Celtic, I think, will pose a bigger threat. They've got better movement than Rangers. But I don't think they've been setting the heather on fire, Tam, in terms of their standards. So... And the pressure's on. The pressure's on at the top as well because they can't afford any slips. And players get edgy. What you don't want to do is, you know, you fall the first goal behind, but if you fall two goals behind, then you've got a real issue. Keep yourself in the game for as long as possible. And I'd like to think that Dundee could hurt Celtic as well. I'd like to think that they showed that against Rangers, they created opportunities, a wee bit more composure on the night. They could have got a goal. In that game at Parkhead, they showed they could score with 10 men against Celtic, and Michael Mellon managed to get a fine goal. But I'd like to show us, as well as being defensively solid as we did against Rangers, show as well that we're capable of hurting Celtic as well going forward. Give them something to think about, and you know, Aberdeen proved that at the weekend. I think the last thing you want to be doing is sitting back. So you have to, when you get up the park, keep the ball as well, and you know, Celtic kind of score when you've got the ball in your sort of hands. So. No, I'm looking forward to the game.
And that wee carrot of European football does help, doesn't it? It gives the player something to aim at. It's a target. Because it could have been easy if they were going into this, the final five games of the season, 6 or 7 points behind fifth place.
Yeah.
They go on holiday then mentally, don't they?
Well, you think back to the last time they finished top six in 2015 and it fell that way. They lost every game because the job was done. There was no carrot of getting European football. I can't remember exactly what the table looked like. They probably could have jumped ahead of somebody that season, but they went and lost every game. So.
Yeah, because we always talk about it. I mean, the managers and particularly directors will say, oh, there's a big jump in prize money from 6th to 5th to 4th. Mm-hmm. But players know what their wages are and what their win bonuses are. So they're like, we're not going to see that. No. We know what we'll get, so it doesn't. That's a big thing. Whereas,
because
most of them won't.
I think it's vitally important as well, Tom. We've seen this in the past where teams go into the final five games, and perform woefully, and that carries on into the following season. And suddenly they're chasing their tail, you know. So you want to finish your season as strongly as possible. And I've got to be honest, under Tony Docherty, I don't see Dundee switching off, regardless of what happens. You know, if St Mirren were to go and get results in the gap, still, if the gap to prove too big, to pull back. Dundee will keep going right to the last day, you know. So I'm looking forward to it. But as a carrot for Dundee.
Yeah, I mean, one blow, of course, and it is certainly a blow to me, as you've already heard, is that Joe boy. he's out for the rest of the season because he's been a rock at the back, has Shaughnessy.
Shaughnessy, yeah. The rest of the season, and it looks like quite a long time afterwards, I have to say, sadly.
Sure, that's really bad news. What's he done?
Didn't really want to say it, but he's done his cruciate ligament.
Right, okay. So what's it, 9 months or something?
Generally. Once you have the surgery, it takes about 9 months. Yeah. So it's
that's a blow. That's a real blow because we've spoken about the defence this season, how good they've been. And the goalkeeper, Carson, Portales and Ricky Alame. But the one man who's been there most of the time.
He started every game.
The majority of the time has been Joe Shaughnessy. He's been the rock, the foundation for everything. And when these guys have been out, he's still been there. And it was such an innocuous thing that happened. Did he kick the ground or something like that?
He just kind of twisted. You could tell it was bad because there was nobody close.
You straight away. That's a real blow. And I'll probably give Tony Docherty a wee headache because I'm sure he may have to look elsewhere to bring in maybe another defender to cover for that. We'll wait and see because there's a few guys obviously there on loan as well at this point in time. So,
and then in terms of the team right now, he's probably okay because Portales came in. I thought they'd really well.
Absolutely.
Good Rangers. And he's... Whether he keeps it, we'll have to wait and see. But he's switched to the back which kind of eases the pressure on.
I'm sure, for myself and any Dundee fans, if it happened 10 games ago, you would have been really concerned. But I mean, obviously, it's a bad one for the player. But for this season, certainly, you know, they have got plenty of cover. And Donnelly, I think, still he didn't feature against Rangers. Was he carrying it?
I think he was on the bench. I think.
It's unusual to see him on it, but maybe he's had someone. But he's there as well, so. Yeah, they're pretty well covered for four defenders at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But
But Joe has been the constant presence, isn't he?
And that's a big thing as well. That's a big, you know, everybody look at him and Joe's always there. He's always, and I think his form's dipped slightly. I think he's looked a little leggy in games coming towards the end of the season, which is understandable. But he's always been there, and I think he provides great leadership qualities for everybody else. And he is quite a calming influence as well at the back. And he's played in with a few goals as well, I've got to say, along the way. So they will miss him. So if you're listening, Joe,
who's the
get
captain
well soon
in his absence?
Off the top of my head.
You don't know.
I've seen Jordan McGee.
I can't.
I guess past the line.
I mean, Luke McCowan is quite a leader these days as well. So,
Ricky
Lamy, I think it's maybe been a wee bit unlucky that he hadn't been in the team until he came in against Rangers. He'd started the Celtic game and then hadn't started the game until the last one. So I think he'd been a wee bit, I mean, Celtic game notwithstanding, but he'd been a wee bit unfortunate not to be getting game time. So I think he's a very experienced defender. I think we've seen how strong he is at the back at Premiership level. I think he's been a really good signing as well. So I'm not too worried on that front, but they're also not expecting Owen Beck back. The season, there's obviously a worry that was going to be the case, but it looks like Tony Docherty's kind of resigned to the fact that he won't be welcoming Beck back this season, which is a big shame because
I think we should just start calling them all by their first names.
Owen. Well, they do have another Owen at left back, and I thought Owen Dodgson came on to a very good game against Rangers.
Is the Beck situation, to make a general point here, it's an example of what managers at clubs like Dundee have to do. Sometimes often it's because someone else signs them, but you lose very good players. But it hasn't affected the success of the team. You can have a lesser player, but you can, as I'm sure Dundee have done, basically they've shared Owen Beck's duties among two or three players.
Yeah.
And he, no disrespect to him whatsoever, because he's been a fantastic player, but he hasn't really been missed, has he?
No, because it's been out since the start of March and they've managed to get top six. So, I mean, that in itself.
You know, in style of play and excitement, he's been missed, but in results, he hasn't.
You miss the sort of panache, flying forward, left back, you know, popping up all over the place, Tom. He would pop up on the right wing, he would pop up through the middle, and he still covers the defensive duties well as well. Maybe that's down to Joe Shaughnessy and other players around him that allowed him to get forward when he wanted. But he was certainly in the first half of the season, he was absolutely unplayable. I think that dipped after Christmas. I think teams got a wee bit wise to him and started doubling up from, you know, high up the park, which made it difficult for him to get out. And then obviously the injury. But it's a tribute to the manager and, you know, a testament to what he's done and the players that they've not really missed him. You miss the excitement of him dashing forward, but other players have filled the role really well. McCowan's came on and Scott Tiffany as well up the left hand side done a fantastic job. But there's no denying he was one of the stars of the show in the Premiership over the first 6 months. He was outstanding.
Thinking out loud, I wonder if it was perhaps a minor positive that in January Tony Docherty was basically forced to think about a future without Owen Beck and plan as such and have tactical plans and work on things in training, so that when they did enter the second season, they did look like a side far more capable of not being quite so focused on Owen Beck. I mean, obviously you guys watch them, you know, week in, week out, so much, you know, more able to speak to that. But it just seems to me that there's been a lot more varied, you know, lines of attack in the second half of the season than perhaps there was in the first half of the season, when you were looking at almost everything coming down the left-hand side, certainly a lot of the creativity coming down the left.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Tony Docherty landed on the 3-5-2 of the wing-backs formation to get the best out of Owen Beck, and then fitted everyone else in kind of around him, which is maybe why the team settled into that, and it's maybe why he's now changed it, because it's different personnel. But what was the question again? I forgot.
I don't think I asked you a question, George. I was making a vague thinking out loud.
But no, I think I've remembered what I was going to say. I think they had plans already.
Is that when they put adverts on YouTube?
I think they had plans in January to get some sort of backup option in place, because for a lot of the first half of the season, if Owen Beck wasn't there, they were a wee bit light in terms of a proper left back. Because Aaron Donnelly, as we've seen, is probably stronger as the left-sided centre-back, and I think he can play on the left, but it's different, completely different sort of player to Beck. But
and Owen Dawson's coming has done really well. I mean, he has made a couple of errors. I'm assuming he's coming and people have expected another Owen Beck. He's not another Owen Beck. He's a different type of player. But if he does get in the attacking area, he has got a good left foot to whip in a decent ball. And he's a hardy player, I'll give him that. He doesn't shirk any challenges. But you know what, there's other players now I'd like to see in the final five games. We've not seen much of Josh Mulligan this season. Josh Mulligan's a fantastic, but for one reason or another, he's had injury issues.
He's been a wee bit unlucky.
And he's been a wee bit unlucky that Jordan McGee has been absolutely outstanding down that right hand side, and the man, you just know.
And the midfield, can you change the midfield?
Yeah, you just know that Tony Docherty absolutely loves Jordan McGee. He goes in and does a job for him week in and week out.
So reliable.
It's very tough for Josh Mulligan to get in that team, but I think Josh Mulligan's got a lot to offer this football club, I hopefully get a chance to see him between now and the end of the season. I think he needs a wee confidence boost to, you know, run the team, but you're not going to run the team just for the sake of getting to run the team. He has to go in and do a job, and as you said, there are boys in there who have been outstanding as well, so they're really strong. What about the guy at the back, George? We've not seen him. Rick Astley. That's not Rick Astley, but was it Ryan Astley?
Well,
we've been waiting forever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't get it.
He told me to say that. We skipped that before we came on.
That's a Rick Astley song. Well, title, I guess.
Rick Astley's got more than one song. What?
Yes, but they just all sound the same.
We're not speaking about Rick Astley. It's Ryan Astley. How did he
go on? Well, we've only seen him once. He came off the bench at Smyrna, and to be fair, he struggled a bit on that. It was his first appearance in the Premiership. I wonder whether he's maybe just not quite.
He signed a 2-year deal, was
it? Yeah, yeah. But obviously, they like him and they think there's a real future there. Just maybe taking a bit of time to get bedded in. And they've had a lot of other options at centre back, which obviously now Joe Shaughnessy is no longer an option. We may get to see him, and he may get a chance to shine on that front. But I'd be interested to see him, because, as I said, just like everyone else, I've seen about 15 minutes of him play for Dundee.
Now, you two went off at a tangent there, I purposely raised this point about the covering of Owen Beck's absence, because, which is a lie, it just popped out my mouth, but Dundee have said this week they are bracing themselves for interest in Lyle Cameron. Now, call me cynical, but that's, I take that as code for Lyle Cameron's for sale if you come up with a good wad of cash. So they might have to cover for him. Well, they might have to find a replacement for him. But again, I go back to that point. Sometimes the replacement is not a player. It's a tweak to the system and getting bodies in that can carry the workload.
Yeah, well, I don't think it'd be cheap. If somebody
I don't think he should be.
No, yeah, shouldn't be.
He's been absolutely brilliant this season.
And why aren't they bracing themselves for interest in Luke McCowan as well? Because I think he's been equally as good.
I think he could go to a really high level as well. He's a wee bit older than Lyle Cameron. That's one thing. Both are out of contract next summer, although there's obviously talks with Luke McCowan about extending that. People will definitely be interested in both of them because both have been brought. Lyle Cameron in particular, because don't forget that only 2 years ago he wasn't in the Dundee team.
No,
he was at Montrose. 18 months.
18 months. He's improved drastically. And credit to Gary Boyer.
Yeah. He's also making a name for himself in the international.
Credit to Gary Boyer. He spotted that, and I think it was around Christmas time last year that he started becoming a permanent fixture in the Dundee team. And he's gone on to show that the fantastic ability he has with the ball at his feet. You know, I get it that he's still lightweight, but he's proved that he can perform in the Premiership. We said that, can he go up now and do that? He's done that, he's scoring goals. What's not to like about Lyle Cameron? I see figures getting bandied about for Conor Barron up at Aberdeen, who's out of contract, you know, and just sort of the development fee alone, they'd be looking for $500,000. But where do you sort of put Lyle Cameron in that then? Because Conor Barron's played against him twice in the last 6 weeks, and Conor Barron's not a kick of the ball effectively in the middle of that park. I've got to say that, you know, as George has said, that him and McCowan are out of contract in 12 months' time. It would be remiss of Dundee to allow that contract to run down. So either they extend that deal, or I would say to Dundee fans, let's make. We've seen too many players walk out the door at Dens for nothing, you know. So
McCowan in particular, with Lyle Cameron, you're right to touch upon that development fee. There is there's a safety net there that will ensure he won't walk out for nothing. Whereas Luke McCowan, coming off the back of the season of his life, if the option is sell him now or he goes for nothing next season, you need to sell him now while the stock's high.
It was once explained to me. I tell you who it was. It was Craig Forsyth. Clubs are terrible for colluding. These development fees could give you a slightly false picture, because in the end, if the player's not going to sign a new contract and you want them, you don't always get the development fee, because clubs go, well, we'll give you this now.
Yeah, but you call that collusion. It just makes perfect sense, because the alternative is you go to an expensive tribunal, and that's this. And who can be doing with that? Because it's just messy, and as I say, it's expensive for all involved when you've brought in the legal advice and stuff that you need. So you're better just if you can come to a middle ground, which, as you say, is often what happens.
Yeah,
and on the two of them, Luke McCown's been on record saying he wants to stay,
yeah,
and obviously Dundee want to keep him, so that's a positive.
I always think it was when Dundee say they're braced for interest, I always think that that's a line saying nobody's actually shown anything. What's going on here? Come on, we're braced for interest.
I always just read it as he's playing really well.
But I just wonder, is there something else in the background that he's maybe saying, I'm not signing a new contract? So they're going, well, come on then, let's see.
I think Lyle's always been pretty clear. Even when he signed his deal last summer, I think he's always been pretty clear that he has big ambitions in the game.
Sure, he should have.
I personally, I mean, as a Dundee fan, I'd love him to stay, but I think it wouldn't be a bad thing for his development to sign an extra year's deal rather than move on. Still, I think he's got a bit more development to do. Well, I think you look at Luke McCowan 2 years ago at Dundee, and look at him now. He's a much, much stronger player on the ball. He very rarely gets shrugged off the ball, and I think you'll see that as well.
Lyle Cameron.
I forgot about him already.
I know. It's gone. It's dead to us.
You see that as well. Lyle Cameron. Another year, certainly at Premiership level, wouldn't do him any harm.
And he's sensible enough to be able to realise what the best option will be for him.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if you were going to highlight something to work on, I think his defensive side. I mean, there was an initial question about his size, but I think he's blown that out of the water. Yeah. But I mean, I can think of a couple of games. I think down at Hearts when they were 2-0 up, he did the young player thing of trying to anticipate a pass. Yeah. And that opened a corridor that led to a goal, whereas an experienced player would say, well, you can have the pass because the pass isn't going into our box.
Yeah.
So I'll drop into the space and stop it. And just wee things like that that players have to learn.
I think there's some games as well where it becomes difficult for him when it's turgid affairs and it's midfield and it's all a bit battling. He's got battling abilities. He gets stuck in, I've no doubt about that. But the fact is, he's not the biggest. He's not going to win a lot of these battles. So I think there's games when, you know, I think the Motherwell game at Dens was a case in point a few weeks back where Motherwell effectively strengthened the second half, paid big dividends. I would say there's games where you could leave Lyle Camp, not leave him out, but certainly see early that it's not worth for him taking. Well, I don't see the same with Luke McKeown. I think Luke McKeown, to me, is a player that stays on the park as long as his legs are moving, you keep him on the park. But I think Lyle Cameron will get to that point going forward quite quickly.
The two of them have shown, and particularly we see it so starkly with Lyle Cameron, that they learn very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you think, Lyle Cameron is some way behind in terms of experience.
Yeah.
Luke McKeown, we used to frequently talk about Luke McKeown and say, you need to be the man that does it every game. And any time I've watched Dundee this season, Luke McKeown is the man who now he's become a player who's very good when given the ball to the player who demands the ball.
Yeah.
And that'll come. I mean, Cameron's already very good in that sense for a young player, but that'll come with him as well.
He's become a key part in that wheel, that cog at Dundee, you know, the midfield where they're all linking up really well together, with the striker as well, Amadou Bakayoko's part of that, playing up top. But we spoke about Beck going out with the team, and the managers cope quite well. When one cog goes out, he's able to adapt. And so Dundee fans shouldn't be too concerned.
No.
If Lyle Cameron goes, as long as you know, the transfer value is fair and Dundee can use that to their advantage, that's what you leave to the manager to sort out going forward. But fingers crossed that they both sign new deals.
Yeah, and we're kind of running out of time, but another positive is they'd like to keep Amadou Bakayoko.
Just what I was waiting to say, George. So, and I think, because it's funny, I speak to fans and some love them and some are not so keen. And I you would love it if he scored another 5 to 10 goals this season. But I just think so many good attacking opportunities for Dundee this season have come from the fact that the ball has been played up to him and he finds a teammate in a good position.
He's secure in possession, I think.
It's a very, very valuable thing.
Yeah, like I say, he's part of that sort of triangle in midfield where, all right, he's not going to score. Well, how many goals has he got this season? 7 or 8, George?
It depends if you give him the goal at St Johnston or not. That's got Tiffany got given. I think he's on 6 if he's
right, okay. But his all-round play, Tom, if he was scoring 15, 16 goals, Dundee wouldn't get him. So I think, I think he's done a good job. I think the manager would be chuffed to keep him for another season. Remember, we've also got Curtis Main, who you saw as the season's gone on, his fitness has improved and has looked more like the Curtis Main of old, shall we say.
There's been a lot of praise for Dundee's midfielders this season. And what I would say is you don't have an effective forward-running midfield unless you've got a focal point up front who can be trusted to bring the ball in, hold it up and allow those midfielders to get forward without thinking, Christ, I better not bomb forward because if we turn over possession, I'm out of possession.
Yeah.
It is impossible to overstate how important players like that are for someone, for example, like Luke McKeown. So really should not be overstated how important a player like that is.
So basically, with or without Cameron, Beck and whoever else, the future's looking bright, George.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of the Tele Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice,